Welcome to the Code of Traditional Archery, brought to you by Primitive Stone Archery and the founder, Grant Richardson.
Welcome to the Code of Traditional Archery podcast. I'm Grant Richardson, your host. We want to welcome all of our listeners to check out our exclusive traditional bow hunting app, now live for all things related to traditional bow hunting. More to follow at the end of the podcast. The original intent of this podcast was to bring back traditional archery and bow hunting to an older era where hunting ability met archer, and together, the two formed a bow hunter. There's a strong resurgence in shooting and hunting with recurves and longbows, which is more so an art and a skill set, not a product, but a process. This podcast is dedicated to all the hard-hunting folks who chase wild turkeys with traditional gear. I hope you enjoy episode 21, Turkeys and Stick Bows. The poke at my feet startled me awake, and in the darkness, I could make out the shape of my 10-year-old, standing there waving her arms and quietly whispering, "Dad, get up, let's get going." She'd beaten me to the alarm again. The night prior, she'd set out all of our gear in a neat and tidy row that even a drill instructor would have been proud of. Decoys, calls, clothing, boots, and even her starter recurve was all arranged in a logical manner. Both our bird dogs sat quietly watching us load the truck, a sad, sullen arrangement of gray fur and amber eyes, knowing they would not be accompanying us today. We reached the gravel drive after a short way out of town. Quietly exiting the vehicle, we listened intently in the pre-dawn darkness. Spring peepers greeted us, a small chorus tree frog that is a sure indicator of spring's arrival in our parts. The sky was dark above us with midnight blue accents, the sun still out of sight to the east, but casting its first light against the horizon as a warning of its presence, sure to come. From the darkness to the north, a barred owl called out, its solemn hoots echoing across the opposing creek bank at the bottom of the low ridge we were standing beneath, and on and down beyond the adjacent tree lines further away, echoing its contact call for all to hear. On the Lonely Night Hunter's third series of Who Cooks for You, an explosive gobble gobbles erupted the early morning air. Directly north of us, and only a mile or so above us on the edge of the adjacent fence line that ran almost the entire length of the property. Glancing over, I could see through the ambient light the grin crossing my daughter's face, wide-eyed and excited. She bent closer and said, "Roost it, near setup or farther?" "Hard to say," I whispered back, "but we should get moving." Below us on the large creek and beaver pond, we were serenaded onward by wood ducks squealing and mallards roosted on the water, waking to the morning. Spring symphony was starting, and the grand tenor we were waiting for had already announced through his shock gobbles his soon-to-be grand entrance onto the stage. We'd been out three times prior to this day's hunt for eastern wild turkey, a reintroduction success for the species in our province of Ontario some 30 years plus. The birds had taken to the habitat well, and our population is healthy and growing, especially in some northern areas as well. Our property served as a nesting area over the years and was never a great roosting and strutting habitat until we began to remediate and work on some of the habitat over a decade prior. And this work proved to be successful. The front of the old farm extending all the way back to the swamp in the mid was now used not only as a feeding and roost area, but that midpoint was a classic eastern woods high point and strut zone. This would be the first hunt on our own farm after three unsuccessful attempts thus far at another property that is a turkey hunter's heaven. There were a lot of birds and land, but a lot of trespassers as well. The pressure was proving relentless there, and I'd had enough of that gong show for 1 year. We'd been saving our farm for that perfect day, the one turkey hunters dream of. Warm sunlight, tepid air, and plenty of lonely toms wandering around looking for the hens, who were, for the most part, sitting on nests at this point. We entered the first field slowly, the sun some 40 minutes away from first light. We scanned the upper branches of the large stand of oak some 300 yards across for balls of feathers still roosted from the night prior. Typically, this was a satellite roost for some of the area's birds, but none were there this morning. A waking crow cut the air with his raucous calls from across the field, and we paused, sure the Tom we'd heard minutes prior was going to gobble in protest. However, nothing but the slight wind and spring peepers responded. Shrugging her shoulders, my partner asked, "What now?" "I'll tell you what," I said, "you choose." "What do you mean?" responding whimsically to my answer. "You choose where to sit," I said. "You lead the way." Now, she was not able to hunt yet, not until the following year, but she'd been following me around the woods and fields of the early 1800s farm now, much overgrown, and she knew its nooks and crannies like the back of her hand, where the deer runs were, the historic rub lines and scrapes of the whitetails, the hollowed-out ash tree the sparrowhawks used every year to raise their young, the drumming logs at the edge of the swamp where King Ruff sounded off like an old Harley Davidson every spring, looking for a lady, and the fox and fisher's habits of running the fence lines for rodents and red squirrels. Today she would need to determine the roost of Tom, however, and she stopped and pondered, looking back over her shoulder, with a wild intelligence at the sun beckoning now behind the morning's curtain. She turned her face back to me. "Follow me," she whispered. She took a large circle, a wide one, almost 100 yards west from the Tom's earlier announcement, and quickly made her way up to an old tote trail adjacent to a large stand of red pine. The soft needles muffling our footsteps in the morning silence now. We were farther away from the orchestra of tree frogs. She paused. "Going to the maple opening," she pointed. "It should be in between both roosts," she whispered and winked at me, and then pointed to the ground, and there, muddied next to the trail, a set of large turkey tracks in the early morning darkness. To our north, the barred owl called again. "Who cooks for you? Who cooks for you all?" With a second owl responding, we do, to the west. The Tom was closer this time, only around 150 yards to the east. The small clearing echoed his thunderous gobble back in response to the owls, and we hurried over to the makeshift blind we'd arranged out of fallen pines and scrub and crossed into the dark shadows of large maple trees surrounding the clearing to the south like two ninjas. Another Tom to our west sounded off, and for several minutes, two more toms to the north chimed in with gobbles. "They're all over," she remarked, barely able to contain her excitement. I hid mine, trying to act like I had my nerves together, but was overcome as well, and laughed silently with her in the darkness. "They are," I said, scrambling to uncase my recurve as she sat down on the folding chair she'd carried with her, and taking off her backpack, she arranged some treats for herself for later on. "Decoy," she said, pointing to the two hens we had in a mesh bag she carried up from the house. "Nope," I shook my head. "Let's just sit." The sun was now blazing on the horizon, and the woods eerily silent after the gobble battle 15 minutes prior. And faintly behind us, we could hear the raindrop sounds and soft, quiet yelps of a hen turkey tree calling. If you've never heard the sound before, it indeed does sound like large raindrops falling into a pool of water. And it is not easy to pinpoint with a forest amphitheater backdrop to showcase that call. "Call, Dad," she whispered to me. I'm a fan of less is more when calling birds. I always have been, especially given our current situation that day with at least five toms all around that knoll clearing we were sitting on. However, I have learned as a dad and father to take suggestions like hers to heart, since she felt her input was important, and it got her invested in the game afoot. Slipping the diaphragm call out of my pocket and cradling the Amazook striped Howitt high speed across my lap, I let out a series of soft yelps and a couple of low cuts. Nothing. "Again," she urged. I'd barely let out the second yelp when the hen that was behind us let loose a cutting series of her own and a fly-down cackle, evidently upset at the hen interloper in her area. She was heading our way, cutting loudly and closing the distance quickly, when movement came from our front, not 50 yards out on the other side of the fallen cedar rail fence line we'd brought up and crossed. A brilliant red and white head stood out staring across the clearing with a stern look and half-raised strutting tail fan. The Tom had quietly snuck in from the roadside we'd walked up earlier and was now looking for the schoolyard fight that was about to happen between the real hen and myself. He walked slowly now, head and neck straining, around 40 feet to our front, I moved my eyes over to my daughter, and she was transfixed on the bird as well, and she knew one motion, one small movement, however slight, and the game would be lost. The hen sounded off again, and I let her come in now, a mere 10 feet behind us. She charged into the clearing, running by my 10-year-old buddy from around only 3 feet and cutting the entire time. But my young pathfinder did not move an inch. However, her eyes were wide, and I said, in my mind, good job, projecting that to her as the hen walked to her close front, enough close enough to lasso with a stout rope. The hen fussed around, and I lost sight of the gobbler as she preened her tail and shook her wings as if not seeing the intruder hen she'd been arguing with gave her both pride and defiance at running it off. I had my bow up the entire time. Fingers tensed on the Flemish twist string my father had crafted, with a relaxed wrist ready to draw tight on the brown and red twists. The sun cut across the clearing now, showcasing the riser of the vintage Damon Howitt recurve, and the hand finished work, dark red, browns, and oranges meeting each other in striking a pose. The hen matched the color showcase with her iridescence and rusty red band. A recipe of bow and bird waiting for the snapshot classic of the century that would befit the cover of any outdoor magazine in the world. He jumped up then, the Tom that is, onto the fence directly to our front, still only 40 feet out, offering a clear shot for a moment, but still out of my comfort zone for movement and time. The hen met him as he hopped down, coming into a full strut now 30 yards or less away, and she blocked a shot at that point, the only shot opportunity I would have, as she led him away further down the fence line, and we watched as he strutted around 15 feet away, shielded from my surgical sharp pointed sticks. This carried on for around 15 minutes until they departed south into the thicket of pine and buckthorn below us. A pair of cardinals flew into the clearing, and I glanced over to see a pair of tired but happy eyes blinking at me. She shrugged her shoulders and whispered, "Next time." Grabbing a handful of what we call turkey snacks, she stretched and said, "That was a huge tom, Dad. But he moved too fast, eh? No shot, huh?" She was excited as if she was eating popcorn in a movie theater, and not in the least upset at my cautiousness in not shooting at the bird. We settled back and watched an ermine, a least weasel, hunting for mice through the cedar-railed fence to our front, until an audible squeak was heard, and much like a Canadian Rikki-Tikki tabby, he emerged from the fence, sitting in the sun a proud moment, with a plump vole in his mouth, eyes gleaming and red fur bristling his ferocity to the clearing, now filled with the sun's blaze, before scurrying off with his breakfast down the trail. "I'm going to close my eyes, Dad," she whispered. The cool air and the sun was having that effect on me as well. "Try a couple yelps," she said as she got comfortable, and pulled a large pine bow across to shield the sun from the back of the blind and her head. I was sitting with the call looking down in front of the scrub when I heard it. A humming like the buzzing of bees. The unmistakable sound of a tom turkey strutting and drumming. I saw nothing, however, as I scanned the clearing carefully. I let out a series of low yelps just using my voice, and the woods to our left erupted with the hen again. She sounded crazed. Fighting purrs and clucks and cutting emanated from the woodline as she ran towards our setup like a feathered dozer, and appeared again in the clearing, seemingly angry and ready to rumble. I cut back at her twice again, as she was farther out this time to my left. I looked over, and my hunting buddy was wide awake now and staring to my right. Moving my eyes only, a tom, like a ninja, had silently crept out at full strut from the nearest edge of the pine tree, now only 15 feet or so out to my right, and the hen turned to lead him away from her competition. I had the bow at that point across my lap and not raised. The arrow was still nocked, however, as the four-blade broadhead gleamed in the sun, a reminder of its intended purpose. I resisted the urge to swing the bow and waited until the tom's head went behind the nearest pine tree. Raising the recurve slightly in slow motion and adjusting my position, sitting down now with both my legs out to one side. The tom strutted out, no idea that only 10 feet away we were watching his feathered slow dance. The hen, however, had seen the bow come up and was standing still, head straight up and putting nervously in our direction. She began to walk through the gap in the fence to our front, and he followed slowly, still within my comfort zone. I shifted slightly, and his head came up to run, catching my slight motion. A burst of gray-barred flesh lightning shot across the bright clearing, the shaft appearing at his wing pinion and vanishing through an iridescent light show. I had not thought as the arrow took him and he stumbled, took a jump into the air and onto the cedar rails, falling to the ground, his wings flapping in a dark rainbow dance, heralded by the morning sunlight. The shaft lay there beyond, embedded into one of the lower cedar planks, buried deeply, its task complete. "Good shot, Dad." She stood. "Can I?" She paused. "Go get him, dear." She stood and walked quickly to the fallen bird. "He's beautiful, Dad. He's a big tom. You think bigger than last year's?" "For sure," I said, letting her have a moment. We thanked the bird, admiring his plumage and tail fan, tagged it, and sat with it for several minutes before I retrieved the arrow from the fence, where it was embedded deeply in the historic cedar planks. "We did it," my daughter remarked. Excited, she hoisted the bird over her shoulder, insisting on carrying it back down, winked at me, and said, "I got him, Dad. Let's go show Grandpa." Feathers filled the small clearing and rose into the air, meeting the canopy of the maple trees with all of their green spring life extending from their branches. We took our time walking back down the lane and chatted about everything we'd seen. This was our fourth hunt with around 30 hours of hunting time before we connected. If you follow any of my social media accounts, you know I'm a big fan of hunting wild turkeys with traditional bows. There's just something about going after these birds with all their wariness they have built into them and getting close enough to take one with tennis ball-sized vitals and at times unpredictable movement. Hunting them, whether from a pop-up blind, brush blind, or my favorite, which is spot and stalk hunting them in the fall, stick bows and wild turkeys just go together like peas and carrots, so to speak. Some folks think I'm nuts for pursuing them with traditional gear. It's easier with a shotgun, I'm told, over and over again. All the power to them. I have no issues with whatever gear folks use, as long as it's ethical. I prefer a recurve and always will. For a hunt that will take your learning curve to another level and challenge your shooting as a bow hunter, you got to try wild turkeys out. If anything, the experience will be one that you're bound to learn from, and hunting turkeys is a sure way to get the youth in your life involved and hooked on hunting. Thanks for joining us. If you haven't already, check out Compton Traditional Bowhunters, the national traditional bowhunting organization, offering great membership benefits and ensuring the traditions of bowhunting with the stick and string is alive and well, not only now, but for generations to come. We are very pleased to announce the very first traditional bowhunting app is now live. If you're new to traditional bow hunting, you will find everything you need in one source, all in the palm of your hand. Our app eliminates the need for multi-platform searches and is designed for you, the hunter-gatherer of today. If you're new or trying to get started in traditional archery or bow hunting, this app is for you. You can find it on the App Store and Google Play. For folks already involved, we have you covered. Join us for discussions with some of the greats of archery through the Ethical Predator Members Only podcast, featuring special guests such as E. Don Thomas, traditional bow hunting legend and renowned author. New ways of looking at shooting skills for bow hunting, or use our library as a resource for learning and connecting with others. And that's part of what appeals to folks for traditional bow hunting gear. The learning never ceases. We have a special offer just for our podcast listeners. You can get the bow hunting app for 2 weeks for free with additional bonuses just for trying it out. The Ethical Predator Field Manual, our Quick Start into Traditional Online Archery course, our Pick a Spot Ethical Deer Sticker, a transparent vinyl sticker to remind you to stop, focus, and shoot, our Call-A-Pro access for an entire year. Shooting tips, tuning, or even help with finding an animal, Call-A-Pro is for you. And finally, the Traditional Bowhunter's Meditation, an immersive meditation designed for you, the bowhunter. You can find the link in the comments. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate all the positive feedback we've been getting from folks all over the world. This confirms for us the intent we have on our platform message based on the three pillars of the Code of Traditional Archery. Weapons proficiency with the stick bow, ethics to guide us on our collective journey, and conservation with stewardship in order to protect the wildlife, woods, fields, and waterways we hunt, as our themes are resonating. Thanks for listening in. We encourage you to immerse yourself in the art of the stick bow. Shoot straight and walk with us.